Sports opinion with chicken and beer is flowing here, wrapped up in the podcast network rotation. Sports opinion with chicken and beer is flowing here, wrapped up in the podcast network rotation. Sports opinion.
Welcome to the Beer and Chicken Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Mr. Span, and this is episode number 49 of these Sports Talk Shenanigans. And I'm here with the homeboy Cliff, aka DJ Neff. Say what's up to the people, fam. Well, goddamn.
Shit. That was an extra long
one. Say what?
That was a little long. I wanted to get my brew. My young
what's that? Dragon's milk.
Sure.
Okay, well, I'm fucking with a dirty blind right now. Some dirty blind popping off. Yeah, man, that's what we're doing.
No pun.
I guess. I mean, it's good. Have you ever had the? See, I went to Atwater Brewery a couple weeks ago, and they actually have an orange cream. Fuck, it was like an orange cream dirty blind, man, and she was good, bro. She was good. They need to put that in the stores. It ain't even in the stores right now. You can only get it at the brewery. It was flames though.
Well, you know, most of them have those beers that they only offer on tap. You know where they make them, and typically, you know, when it come off that tap, typically is the best.
Now, you know, it's funny though. Like when I ordered it, the fucking the waiter didn't even know what the hell I was talking about. He was like, "Oh, that's some new shit. I didn't even know we had that." He's like, "You want what now?" And I'm like, "The thing up there on the sign, bro." He's like, "Oh." He didn't know what it was.
Cheers to the waiter who don't know what they
say. Hey, man, he looked like he might have been new. He looked like he might have been new. And I got some chicken and waffles while I was there, too.
He needs some training. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, that might have been on management for him not knowing. Like, "Hey, man, we got some new shit coming out. You know, be on the lookout for if a customer asks for these," you know what I'm saying? So you don't look like you out here not knowing what the fuck you supposed to know.
Like he did.
Yeah, pretty much. So, yeah, man, what's been going on with you this week, man?
Man, you know what? This weekend, well, last week was busy, but this weekend I didn't do nothing. It was hot. Yeah, it was like hot. Almost 100 a day. I don't know if it was that warm where you at.
Yeah, we got to the upper 80s, like low 90s, yeah. You know.
It was hot. If you didn't have air conditioning in the shy, hopefully you didn't drive your car. Or you on the bus. It's one or the other, Jack.
Hey, man. I told you all last week, man, like it was a point in time here at the crib, and we ain't had no AC in this motherfucker. It was 88 degrees in the house. In the house, not outside, nigga, in this bitch. We was sleeping on, want to sleep damn near butt naked and under a fan. Just like, man, it was that hot, man. But nah, man.
I'm going to email you some AC if that
No. The AC is fixed. The AC is fixed. However, in that time where it wasn't, nigga, it was baking in here. I was in here like a rotisserie chicken, my nigga. Just looking like a chicken cutlet.
What hat is on your head?
What hat is on my head?
What is that, a C or a G?
It's a C, nigga. It's a bull's cap.
Oh, okay. You know, I'm after Mike left, I don't support the Bulls like that. So I couldn't tell. So
I mean, you know, I guess there's room for front runners somewhere, nigga. I mean, shit. At least you shameless with yours. There's a whole lot of motherfuckers that's front runners that don't want to admit it at all. Namely Pistons fans, but you know.
Shout out to Walt.
And Tigers fans, though. Tigers fans, too. They were talking about that today, man, on the radio, on the Sports Talk Radio. Like, man, what would it take to get you to come to a Tigers game because the Tigers suck? And I like, you know, when they was winning, it didn't, you know, the thing is, it's funny. Like, when they was talking about Tigers games, like, what would it take for people to come down to Tigers games? And a lot of people were calling in talking about ticket prices are too high, the food cost is too high, you got to pay for, you know, for parking and all these other things. And I'm like, man, it's funny what winning would allow motherfuckers to justify, right? Because when they were winning, those prices were practically the fucking same. You know what I'm saying? But now they losing, you're like, I don't know if it's really worth it going down there. They need to probably, like, lower these damn ticket prices and lower the cost of a beer. $6 for beers? Like, you knew what the price was before you went down there. You was paying for those $6 beers before. So
I don't know what it's like to get inexpensive tickets at a Cubs game. Never happened. I mean, unless they're free, you know, somebody like, yo, come with me. But other than that, I don't care. Of course, prior to them winning the World Series, how bad they suck, ticket price has always been the same.
Yeah, I mean, there's that front runner tax, man. When you were on a front runner, like it's like with the Pistons. When the Pistons were winning, like you could, you know, at a certain point, Pistons tickets were the hottest shit in you know, here in Detroit. Now they practically giving them bitches away. Like I remember at one point they changed the color of the seats in the Little Caesars Arena so that it wouldn't look like the bitch was so empty. You know what I'm saying? Because they'd be on the broadcast and it was a whole bunch of empty ass red seats. Because you know they shared the stadium with the Red Wings. It was supposed to be the Red Wings stadium by themselves, and then later the Pistons kind of hopped on that. And, like, it was a whole bunch of red seats, and they would, like, broadcast these games, and it'd be a whole bunch of empty seats, and they had to change the color of the seats so it wouldn't show so much on television broadcast, man. It's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, man. So, wow. We're going to get on up into these young sports shenanigans, yeah, man. And, of course, like we do, it's summertime, so y'all know, like, the sports thing is kind of slow, man. It ain't a whole lot of shit popping off football-wise. You know, baseball is kind of like, you know, The Midsummer Classic has come and gone. You know, they had the Home Run Derby and stuff like that. But it's like the dog days of baseball season. It's like, yeah, like everybody grinding right now. It's like they already done played probably like 82 to 90 games already. They probably got like another 79 games to go. It's just like, you know, it ain't a whole lot of real shit popping off. However, NBA free agency, NBA offseason, is always some shit going on, man. And as it stands, the homeboy Russell Westbrook then found himself on a new motherfucking squad. So,
I feel about this.
Did you feel like this was did you feel like he was going to go to Houston? Did you think that was a possibility?
What is the likelihood that my topic last week was about Russell going to Houston? I don't know what day it was, maybe, I don't know, Thursday, when Friday. Excuse me, Friday. This went down Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I got an article from ESPN. And before I read this, I have to say that I'm putting my foot in my mouth officially, because last week I was saying how much of a long shot it was. So
hold on, this nigga Chauncey said...
I'm still coming in an hour. Yes. Do not eat my lobster tail, fool. Do not eat my lobster tail. Johnsy went to the store and he got a whole grilling you did going on right now. And I told him when I get done with the boys, I'm coming back. And I'm coming back. Matter of fact, my shit in the oven, dog. Don't eat my lobster tail, fool. But on last week,
lobster tail good is gone, right?
Huh?
You know that lobster tail good is gone, right?
No, no. He bought a whole lot of them. And uh-huh. I appreciate him. He just let you know you that gonna, he ain't
going to eat. You going to come over there to lobster shells, nigga. Not no lobster tails, nigga. That shit going to be gone.
It take me 9 minutes to get to his house. I ain't worried about it.
All right.
But no. This article says 5-on-5, what the massive Westbrook CP3 trade means. It says, what's next for Houston Rockets and Oklahoma City Thunder after agreeing to swap all-star point guards Russell and Chris Paul? The Rockets are reuniting Westbrook with James Harden in a talented backcourt that has some question marks, while the Thunder continue to stockpile draft assets for the future following the Paul George deal. How will Harden and Westbrook work? Should OKC hold on to CP3? And what is the best star duo in the league now? NBA insiders answer the big questions following Thursday's blockbuster trade and look ahead for each franchise. One, what is your initial reaction to this trade? Two, how did the Rockets do in this deal? I'm going to talk about that in a second. And three, how did the Thunder do in this deal? I'm going to go back to the first question, which is pretty much the easiest. Okay. What was my initial reaction to the trade? I was like, I said it wasn't going to happen. Last week, I'm like, this ain't going to happen. This is crazy. This ain't never going to be a long shot. Go play the lottery. And here I'm like, 5 days later, it's like, oh, yeah, Russell's a Houston Rocket.
Yeah.
So I kind of knew that this is what we'd be touching base. And matter of fact, just a little inside, Chris Paul, he is owed $120 million over the next three seasons. I want to keep that in mind when it comes to the third question. How did OKC, what was their end of the deal on this? So first of all, shout out to Chris Paul, get that money. Of course, that's where I start. Second question was, how did the Rockets do in this deal? Okay, so last week I was saying how you have two very strong-minded scoring individuals. I seem to think that Westbrook is a much better all-around player than James Harden, because James Harden can't play no D, and he don't pass the ball, where on the other hand, Russell, he can. To me, Russell, and I don't want to sound like I'm jocking anybody, he's like a small LeBron, because he can do everything in every stat category, okay? He can pass, he can score, he can steal, he can block, he can get rebounds. So how did the Houston Rockets do? I think they are about to put their foot in their mouth too. They're both great players, but I don't see them playing together. I just don't see that chemistry happening. Mm. They've been from each other so long. They're probably good friends. Who knows? But on the court, they both have a huge desire to be the man. It is James Harden's team. So for Westbrook to walk in the door and be like, yo, I'm getting my 30, 10, 10, and 7, it's going to be a hard, you know, that's going to be tough. And to add to that, I like what this one dude said. Where's that? It said it was clear that Harden-Paul combination had run its course, but there are questions about this Westbrook-Harden fit. As one scout in Vegas said, they are arguably the two most ball-dominant players in the league, and now they're playing in the same backcourt. Westbrook also wouldn't quite seem to fit the way Houston plays, given his career 30.8% three-point shooter and shoots under 30% in the four or five past seasons. But Rockets general manager Daryl Morey has always believed in getting stars and figuring the rest out later, which is ridiculous to me. So how did the Thunder do in this deal? Once again, Chris Paul's owed $120 million over 3 years. He is a veteran player. He is not in 100% condition, i.e. like LeBron. I think LeBron is the only dude in the league that has like been in the league 16 years, and he looks like he's in his fifth year. So they don't have anybody really. I mean, they got Steve Adams, right? I like the great. He's a great center. Are they going to go to the playoffs?
As great centers are judged in today's NBA.
Yes, but I think he is a legit center. Like, he's not shooting threes. You know what I'm saying? He's playing in the paint. He's playing D, and he's taking small shots. Rose eyes. Cliff, stop riding this main nutsack. Oh, my God.
See? Shay in the chat room going off, man.
Already, I said, I'm not jocking nobody.
You set yourself up for that. When you said that, that's what opened the door, boy. That's what...
But look, Westbrook, Chris Paul, he is owed a lot of bread. So is somebody willing to take on that debt? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. He just assumed, over 3 years, $120 million after taxes, about, $27 million a year, somewhere in that nature. I don't know if anybody's going to really pick that up. I love Chris Paul. I think he is the most pure point guard left in the league. Like, pass first, shoot second type deal, right? Mm-hmm. So I think the Thunder are in a rebuilding mode, and they just got some collateral that's just worth a lot of money.
Yeah. This is very interesting. One of the things that I think is interesting about this is the fact that, again, you got Russell Westbrook going to Houston to play with James Harden. And this isn't their first, go around. They were teammates, in Oklahoma City before. And it's crazy how Oklahoma City drafted three of the, three of the last four or five MVPs. You know what I'm saying? Like, they had Kevin Durant. They had Russell Westbrook. They've had James Harden. They drafted all of those dudes. They had Serge Ibaka at one point. Their scouting team is fucking top-notch in Oklahoma City. They were able to go out and scout talent, scout the right talent, put them together, and they went to the NBA Finals. They were a young team. They went to the NBA Finals. But I think at a certain point, their front office got a little skittish when it came time to, paying guys. And that's how you ended up with James Harden moving on to the Houston Rockets as opposed to being the sixth man again on that Oklahoma City Thunder team. Now, think about this. James Harden was the fucking sixth man on that squad. He's now a perennial MVP candidate. And you've got Russell Westbrook. And I know you hate that shit. But then you got Russell Westbrook, who's also a perennial MVP candidate. I would argue that, he really should have. He should be in everybody's top three with the way he's been playing the last few seasons, man. We haven't seen triple-doubles this way in forever. Like, the first dude in my lifetime that we've seen it. Like, none of us, most of us, weren't around when Oscar Robertson was doing his thing. Our pops might have been, but not us. So this is the first time we've seen it. And it's funny how the attitude around the triple-double has so changed now. So now where now people are just like,
preach.
Now all of a sudden everybody's like, oh man, he just a ball hog, man. He just he's stacking his stats or whatever else. And when somebody say he's a ball hog, I need to understand this. Like, how does somebody who averages over 10 assists a game a ball hog? Like, how do you do that? How do you distribute enough to get the ball to enough teammates to where they also score and yet you still be called a ball hog? You're in the league leading in assists every year and yet you're a ball hog. Make that make sense to me. You know what I'm saying? Another thing that I think is interesting is the fact that, Chris Paul went from a team where folks thought, Houston was a legitimate championship contender in the West, and now he's been sent to relative basketball purgatory in Oklahoma City because they ain't got shit there. Like, they had Russell, and they had Paul George, and then they had the supporting cast. And now is you got an aging point guard and that supporting cast. And you just kind of wonder how Chris Paul finds himself, or what Chris Paul will do, whether or not Chris Paul will stay in that particular situation, whether or not he'll try to force a trade, whether or not he'll try to, accept a buyout so he can go someplace else. You just kind of wonder what Chris Paul will do, because I don't foresee Chris Paul staying in Oklahoma City with that team in its current construction. I just don't see that happening. The other thing, too, is do we, how much credit or blame do we give someone like Sam Presti, who, again, drafted all of those guys? He drafted Kevin Durant, drafted Serge Ibaka, drafted Russell Westbrook, drafted James Harden, but then also was instrumental in dismantling that squad. Like, you just kind of wonder, like, how to, like, does he get blamed? Does he get praised for his scouting acumen? It is real interesting, like, what happened with that Oklahoma City team. And then the last point that I wanted to kind of make was what this trade could possibly mean going forward for small market teams. Because we all, like, it's going to be harder. I think it's going to be harder for teams, especially small market teams, to draw big time stars to come to those squads. Like, you think about all of the small market teams who have star players right now, it's only because they drafted them. It's not because those guys wanted to come to those squads. Like, you think about Giannis Antetokounmpo. You think about, even Dallas right now, they got Luka Doncic, and they got Kristaps Porzingis, but they traded for those guys or they drafted those guys. It's not as if there was a destination spot at that particular point when they got those dudes. I'm just saying, like, it just, I kind of wonder what the mid-market teams, like Charlotte, like they just lost Kemba Walker. Philly, like, you know, they, well, nah, Philly's not a small market team. But yeah, I'm just like the Utah Jazz, like, you don't see a whole lot of guys wanting to go to these cities. And I'm kind of wondering, like, now that these trades have happened, how hard it's going to be for some of these small market teams to attract top-notch talent to come to those teams, especially since the guys who are on those teams right now are finding ways to get the fuck out of there.
You say small market. OKC was a small market, and I agree. They drafted all the players, and your statement before about the GM who actually did all the recruiting, he gets all the credit.
Mm-hmm.
He gets all the credit. And what's parallel to that for me is Epstein with the Cubs. He came from the Red Sox. He built up their organization. They won a couple World Series. Same thing with the Cubs. They won a World Series based off of scouting.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to these small markets and the fact that OKC, if you ask me, lucked up on three guys, unheard of. All of them are MVPs in their own way, right?
But I guess the question would be, like, could you consider it luck if he hit three of those bitches? You know,
yes. None of them were first number one draft picks.
Yeah, they were
founders.
No, Kevin Durant. He went number two. He went number two. Like,
well, I mean,
and Greg Oden went ahead of him. So, like,
I mean, Michael Jordan went third. But I mean, all I'm saying is that he got lucky. That's just luck. But he had good scouting. He saw the potential. Mm-hmm. Let me say that much. When it comes to the small markets, i.e. Charlotte, I don't consider Milwaukee to be a small market because
you don't?
I don't because they've been around so long.
That don't mean shit.
I know, but here's my point though. Dallas is not a small market. They are not a small market. They got mad bread. They just pick their spots. Charlotte, definitely small market. They just lost Kemba. Kemba might be one of the most underrated 1-2 guards in the league because, like you said, he's in a small market. Now, here's the thing. Will they luck up and get a perennial? Probably not. I don't know. But guess what? It depends on who that GM is and what they're doing to build the team to be able to win. Now, when it comes to where these guys are going and why they're going to these places, you know, varies in reasoning. You know, nobody knew that KD and Kyrie would have ended up on the damn Nets. I mean, we couldn't have bet that long shot, right?
Mm.
So, around KD, Russell, and Harden. Right now, he's just rebuilding. He said, yo, let's just blank slate, let's call it one, and let's start over. I would do the same thing, right? You know, Paul George left, Harden been gone, KD been gone, and Westbrook like, yo, you know what, I don't even want to be here no more. You know, and Chris Paul didn't want to be in Houston. So who knows what's going to happen with Chris Paul. OKC starting from scratch. Chris Paul don't want to have nothing to do with that.
Yeah, that's the point that I'm making. Like, Chris Paul is he's advanced in his career. Like, he's he's not a young dude anymore. He's only got a few more years left, and I know a player of like a player of his caliber would like to be in a position where he can try to compete for an NBA right. championship. And many folks thought that, yo, if Chris Paul didn't go down 2 years ago, we'd have seen the Houston Rockets in those NBA finals as opposed to the Golden State Warriors 2 years ago. And I know it's arguable, you know, hindsight is always 2020, and we will never really know for sure. But I'm saying he's gone from that to, okay, now I'm in a situation where we'd be lucky if we make the playoffs. And for somebody who's in this late stage in their career, I doubt very seriously that he's going to want to stick around for that. Like, you know, it's like, hey, man, look, I want a shot at a chip. Put me in a position, trade me someplace where I can be in a position to go try to get me a chip. The thing with Presti and starting over, like, I think once that Paul George trade went through, I think the writing was on the wall for Russell Westbrook. I knew, like, Russell Westbrook, like, yo, man, I can't keep playing at this level, and, you know, we get out in the first round, this, that, and the other, and now the only help that I did, the biggest help that I had isn't here anymore. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I'm just saying, like, when it comes to Oklahoma City, you know, like I said, I just kind of like, does he get blame? Does he get fucking, you know, does he get credit? Like, I mean, he's got credit. He gets credit for bringing the amount of talent that he had to Oklahoma City, right? But even with the talent that he brought to Oklahoma City, it wasn't as if Oklahoma City was the destination, right? They like, it was like, yo, I think the only instance of where it could have been seen that way was when Paul George decided to re-sign with OKC. Remember when Paul George got traded to the Indiana Pacers, from the Indiana Pacers, many people were looking at this as like, well, he's only going to be there for this. It's probably a rental for OKC, and he's going to sign with the Lakers the minute he becomes a free agent. And instead of doing that, he re-signed with OKC. Now, what we ended up finding out is it was a longer rental. The nigga, instead of getting a 3-day rental, he got the 7-day rental. You know what I'm saying? Because a season later, that nigga ain't there no more. And then they had to get rid of their other star. He was just like, yo, he put his hands up like, yo, I can't do anymore here. And like I said, I've said this on the show before, I'll say it again, Russell Westbrook plays the game hard. He plays the game hard. And I doubt if Russell would have been I mean, he's already got a reputation for not being a great teammate. But could you imagine being in the locker room with that dude and they done lost like 8 straight? You know what I'm saying? And he out there trying to will that team to wins. Like, yo, man, it couldn't happen.
Well, the fact that he plays so hard, to me, James Harden is a couch potato.
Mm.
You know, if he miss, he'd be like, all right, I'll let y'all when y'all get back down here. Mm. You know,
that's gonna be the interesting thing to watch, that relationship and how it's like. I think a lot of us are predicting that shit's gonna blow up. Only because, like I said, now James Harden is like, that's his squad. Like, this is my shit. You coming into my shit. You know, it's not like I'm that six. It's like the little brother. Like, I ain't little brother no more, motherfucker. I'll whoop your ass. You
know? No, it's like on Friday when Red was telling Debo how they can share the bike on Sundays and Mondays. You know, I just come over, you know, we just switch up. You're like, oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
It's my bike, punk. Yeah, so. Yeah, man, but what about this? What about damn, I'm drawing a damn blank.
Is it, you talking about another trade?
Yeah, I was drawing a blank.
Okay, so you got here.
Nah,
you got it?
Nah, I don't. But interestingly enough, I'm glad I clicked on this tab. Because I meant to do this before we really got into our topics and shit. We had some listener feedback.
Oh, good. Let's get it.
We got some listener feedback, and we got an email, and we also have the poll results for the last poll that we had about whether or not folks are going to watch the WNBA and whether or not they do watch the WNBA. And the poll results are in, and this wasn't even close, y'all. I'm going to just say this.
Shay, I hope Shay's still watching the show. If not, give us a ring, Shay, because this is all about you with these WNBA joints.
Yeah. So I'm going to just say, because there were two no answers and there were two yes answers. I'm going to just go off top and say the no's are at like a 68% clip. that they're not watching the WNBA. So 38% of people who voted in this poll said they do not watch the WNBA simply because it's not good. 30.7% of beer and chicken audience say no, I just don't like the style of play that they play. Now 23% of the beer and chicken audience says yes, they watch, but only if nothing else is on. And 7% voted, 7.6% said that they watch because the women be balling. Man, I expected the numbers on the yes side to be a little bit higher than this, man.
Well,
honesty
at the end of the day.
What's that?
Said you got to appreciate their honesty. If that's where they at, that's where they at.
Yeah,
you
know? Man. Yeah. That's where they at. Now, I said again, like, we did have we had listener email. Where is it? All right. Let's see here.
Oh, you might be talking about D'Angelo Russell. No.
No, I wasn't talking about. I think I was talking about Paul George and
that whole deal. I'm looking at every single trade that happened, and the whole here. I'm looking at all this, man. So the Paul George, Oklahoma City gets. I don't even know. They got Gallinari. And then they got 7 first-round picks. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
The Clippers just got Paul George. Wow.
Hold on. Shay in the chat, she's like, Cliff did that because he said they're not no good.
What?
She said you stuffed the ballot box, dog.
What I look like doing that.
Oh, man. Hey.
Oh, man. She said you're stuffing the ballot box. Now, we got this email here. This one comes from KP. KP says, what's going on, Beer and Chicken crew? I was listening to your last episode about the WNBA, and I got to go with Cliff on this one. Oh, And the only reason I'm doing so is because Cliff spoke about this in terms of strictly business supply and demand. If the ladies commanded more in terms of eyeballs, which in turn translates into advertising dollars, we would more than likely see more money come in their direction. But as it stands, they just don't seem to command the same audience the way the men's game does. Span, I'm with you on the argument of what's fair, but life ain't fair. And I don't know necessarily if the social justice argument flies here. Anyway, love the show. Keep it up, and I'll keep listening, KP. Well, all right, KP. You know, interestingly enough, because he agreed with your ass. No. The interesting thing about it, though, is that the thing that really caught my attention and what I was really arguing against wasn't necessarily whether or not the women deserve more money based on, you know, in comparison to the NBA players. I was talking about the referees making more money than the WNBA players. That does not make sense to me, and you will not ever be able to make it make sense to me. Like, the fact that the referees are making more money than the players will never make sense. Nobody is paying to see the refs, bottom line. So if it's about supply and demand, nobody is demanding to see Steve Javy run up and down a motherfucking floor.
It's not the demand he's talking about.
I know it's not the demand that he's talking about, which means he totally missed the point of my argument. Thank you for writing in, OKP. Hey,
you sound like a smart man. I say you sound like a smart man.
Yeah, whatever, nigga. Whatever. But that was our list of feedback, man. I should have gotten to that before we really got into the whole show or whatnot. But the other story that I did want to talk about, because I did catch this on ESPN earlier this week, and I thought this was kind of interesting, right? So LeBron James said that he was going to give up his number. He was going to give up number 23 and give it to Anthony Davis. Once he became a part of the Los Angeles Lakers, right? He was going to change his number to number 6.
Right.
But apparently he's not going to be able to do that. And the reason why he's not going to be able to do that is because Nike has made a whole lot of motherfucking jerseys with LeBron James with the number 23, and they stand to lose tens of millions of dollars if this motherfucking jersey was to change. Not only that, they also just can't, you know, they make the LeBron shoes or whatever. All of the LeBron shoes have the 23 in the shoes. So the Nike stands to lose tens of millions of dollars if these motherfuckers go through with this jersey change. We're going to read this story here, man. It says LeBron James won't be giving up his number 23 to new teammate Anthony Davis at the Raw. The planned jersey swap for the 2019-20 season has been postponed due to potential production and financial issues with manufacturer Nike, a source told ESPN's David McMiniman. James wore number 23 during both of his stints with the Cleveland Cavaliers and last season with the Los Angeles Lakers. It's also the number Davis wore during his seventh season with the New Orleans Pelicans. After the Lakers agreed to a blockbuster trade for Davis last month, James appeared to confirm on social media that he would switch back to number 6, which he wore with Team USA in the Olympics and with the Miami Heat, and give number 23 to Davis. That swap hit some roadblocks in recent weeks. A league source confirmed to ESPN that the NBA notified the Lakers that a March 15th deadline for jersey changes had passed, but it would waive it if Nike, the league's official outfitter, complied. The company did not, and the unused inventory of Nike number 23 James jerseys already produced would have led to a financial hit well into the tens of millions of dollars. James, per the report, thus decided to postpone the jersey change out of what the website called consideration for fans who already purchased his number 23 and a desire to keep the situation from becoming a distraction. As of Friday, James had yet to file an official request to change from 23 to 6 for the 2021 season. A league source told McMiniman James has until March 15, 2020 to do so. Davis on Friday night posted on Instagram that he would be wearing his elementary school number 3. So... the look on your fucking face right now. Who knew? Who knew that something as simple as getting your jersey number changed could cause such a ripple effect business-wise for not only the NBA, but for the official outfitter of the NBA, Nike, to the tune of tens of millions of dollars, man. Who knew? Like, has Tom Brady ever had that happen to him? Nah, probably not.
No.
Even Jordan didn't have that happen to him.
Nobody, well, okay, and I'm not trying to come on, but nobody got, you know, played for different teams and switched numbers. So, no, that this is a first. I mean, to tell you the truth, I mean, it's a good gesture and blah, 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 but yo, LeBron has a lifetime contract with Nike. If they tell him he got to keep 23, Anthony Davis is going to have to find another number.
I mean, I think he's only gonna keep it for this season. He'll probably swap it next year. He's got time to swap it for next year just to give them an opportunity to kind of change out shit. You know, produce the number 6 jerseys, produce the shoes with the number 6 on them, you know, that kind of shit. But at a certain point too, I kind of wonder like how much of this is Nike just having way too much motherfucking influence on what happens, you know, for the NBA. You know what I'm saying? Like, I understand that they're the official outfitter of the NBA. And they got, like, I think it's a 10-year deal with this. Well, yeah, man, it's just kind of crazy to, like, yo, man, so we stand to lose about $11, $12 million on this. No. They said tens of millions. So maybe $30 to $40 million on this. You might want to pump your brakes on this jersey swap, Bron. I mean... you might want to pump the motherfucking brakes. He's like,
Ho, brother, whoa. Now you got too much dip on your chip.
Hey, man.
You've been waiting to do that
one. Hey, you know, it's been a minute. But yo, man, I think it's gonna be a really short show tonight. Cause I know you got some lobster to get to.
That ain't got nothing to do with nothing. I still got something I want to talk about.
Well, what you want to talk about? What you got?
Serena Williams, man.
Okay.
Have you been keeping up with tennis at all? I mean, this is gonna be real short, but
barely. I mean, I know she went to the Wimbledon final. I know she lost the Wimbledon final.
Right.
I know they, and I know they like announced it as Serena Williams loses, not the other girl won. Like, just like it's funny how that works out. You know what I'm saying? Like I guess like if Serena Williams loses, like well, I guess it's like not such and such won. And I don't even know what the other woman's name is, but it's like. like, yo, Serena Williams loses the Wimbledon final. Not such and such wins Wimbledon. It's funny how that works out, man.
And listen, this is really quick, because we typically don't even talk about tennis.
Yeah. A game in which I think the women's game is a hell of a lot more interesting than the dudes.
Well, I wonder why. I know why I watch the women's game, but this is from a website called The Undefeated. It says, how many chances does Serena Williams have left to break the record?
How close is she to the record? I know this would have been a 24th had she won, but what is the record?
The record, I think, is 26. Hold on.
Maybe we should ask Google.
This is her attempt at the 24th Grand Slam. This is not giving the it. She's not far. I think it might be 30.
Hold on, let me see. Hey Google, what's the all-time record for Grand Slam wins in women's tennis? According to Wikipedia, Margaret Court has 24 singles majors, an all-time record. 24 is the all-time record.
Okay.
Let me know when she's done.
She's okay, Google. Stop. All right.
She gonna pour you a beer too?
Maybe.
But
hey, Google, let me get another Blondie.
But no, a lot of people threw some salt on her yesterday, man. I was in the car and listened to the radio. Sports radio, and they were saying that Serena should like retire. And I was like, why is it when people reach a certain pinnacle, especially when they're going to break a record or tie it in this situation, they always lead to it, she should quit while she's on top. And I think that they're just saying that because she would be, if and when she breaks the record, she will be looked at as the best tennis player of all time.
I think she's looked at that now, and she doesn't have the record.
I would say, but it's all about that hardware. If you don't,
I get it, right? Yeah, I get it. I get that. You know, when we kind of boil things down to that, right? We do it a lot in the NBA. Like when we talk about LeBron and Mike, we usually break it down to, well, shit, Mike 6-0, LeBron like 3-9, 3-8 or whatever. And we always just kind of leave out that Bill Russell has like got 11 of them bitches. You know what I'm saying? We always just kind of do that.
Shout out to Bill Russell.
We don't talk to somebody that was born before, you know, 1950.
But I'm saying, like, if an old head came to us, like, boy, you don't know nothing, boy. Bill Russell was a bad motherfucker when he was playing. And true indeed, he was. And and a lot of times I think we do reduce the arguments of the greatest of all time, we do reduce it to the amount of championships that they've won. And so, but I think in tennis, and particularly in Serena Williams' case, I think the consensus around tennis right now is that Serena probably is the best of all time, like the best tennis player we've probably ever seen, because she's dominated the game in such a way where she really can't be denied. The woman came back from pregnancy and won another, like, maybe one or two more Grand Slam championships. She didn't win the Grand Slam. She did some shit where she won four championships within a single year, and they just called it the Serena Slam. They just renamed the shit after her, you know what I'm saying? So I think that the attitude that we have around Serena Williams, although Serena gets a lot of bullshit, she gets a lot of bullshit from like the press, especially the white press, especially the foreign press, where they criticize her on what she's wearing. They criticize her on, you know, even when she's just standing up for herself. I know that thing that happened when she lost to, I believe it was Osaka. When she lost to her, like she was arguing with the line judge, and that overshadowed the win for Osaka. But she even apologized to Osaka, like, I didn't want to take that moment away from you. You know what I'm saying? I was just trying to stand up for myself. And she's had to stand up for herself so much for so long to where it's like, yo, man, like, if we're not looking at the greatest of all time, we're looking at one of the greatest of all time. And I think Serena Williams is definitely, if she's not the greatest, I don't know who they would put ahead of her, right? You know, like, just because of the way her career has panned out. And it's also, well, not odd, but her daddy called this shit damn near 20 years ago. When they first came on the scene, and Venus was first, like, kind of going to the Grand Slams and doing the tournaments, and Serena was still kind of, she was younger. And their dad was like, yo, Serena's the better player. And it panned out that way. It damn sure panned out that way.
Because Venus was on top before Serena was.
Their daddy was who LeVar Ball wants to be. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Why do the balls somehow end up, this ain't gonna sound right. Why do the balls end up in our conversation all the time? I swear to God, LeVar, his daddy, LaMelo.
I'm just saying. I think he's a poor imitation of they daddy. But go ahead, man.
You know what? When it comes to fathers and administering motivation to their children to be athletes, I'm with them all the way. You know, I got two sons, and right now, you know, I'd rather spend that money and invest in them because you never know, you know. And it's a beautiful thing, man, to be able to see your kids flourish and be
yeah,
good.
Yeah. Especially when they're wearing sock shit, man. That's beautiful.
That was not by choice. So. Everybody does not know. This year, my son had to play for the Sox because his coach, who it was not me, elected.
It was beautiful to see nephew in his White Sox uniform, man.
And I will support him no matter what team he plays for, because that's not the team that he roots for. So
it was beautiful to see nephew in White Sox uniform, man. It was beautiful.
On show tonight.
We about to wing it, y'all. We about to wing it.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live. Fuck it.
What you winging it on tonight, Cliff?
We get it on my son for being a Cubs fan, okay? Everybody understand this. He has everything Cubs, okay? That's what I'm winging it on. I'm winging on the fact that he had to play for a team and he disliked the colors. He didn't like the arrangement of what was on his chest, but he still put in the effort and did very well, might I add. So shout out to being loyal. That's okay. What I'm doing.
That's
a nice hat. It looks like a Cubs hat that's crooked, a little retarded, but nice hat.
It looks absolutely nothing like a fucking Cubs hat. Absolutely nothing like a Cubs hat. And the only reason nephew is a Cubs fan is because his punk-ass daddy is a Cubs fan. I get it, man. I get it, you know. Indoctrination is strong, man. Indoctrination is strong. But...
It's about to get political on the bridge.
Oh, nigga. Man. But while we talking about Cubs and White Sox and whatnot, I'm going to just tell y'all, man, you can't take Cubs fans nowhere. You can't take Cubs fans nowhere. Check this out, man.
I know where this is leading.
Man, check this out. I couldn't believe this shit when I saw it either, man. Real talk. As a matter of fact, do I got this video up? I had the video up. That's all right. It ain't going to be hard to find, goddammit. Let me do this here. Da, 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 da. Yep, here we go. Right here. Bam. Go ahead and pull this up for y'all. Look at these trifling motherfuckers. Look at this trifling shit.
Don't get it twisted. Y'all are listening too.
Look at this. Look at this. You see all these White Sox fans just trying to like be calm and restrain their ass, and these drunk ass Cubs fans just can't sit their asses down. I also just want to point out because it's a white woman, suddenly this cop doesn't know how to use his motherfucking handcuffs. You know what I'm saying? Like, what the fuck, bro? Like, you'd have had niggas hemmed up with the quickness. These white women been out here throwing all the blows, like all the blows, and yet the handcuffs have not met them yet. But they still throwing shots, though. Look at him. He can't even get him out. Look at him. Look at this shit. Resisting arrest. Look at her. She's still throwing shots. Look at her. Look at her. That's enough for this, man. Like I said, Cubs fans are trifling. They are uncouth. They have no manners. You can't take them nowhere. It's unfortunate that my nephew has been indoctrinated by his daddy to be a goddamn Cubs fan. But I love y'all anyway, man. I love y'all anyway. But yeah, man. That's what I'm winging it on.
You actually probably didn't have nothing to wing it on. You didn't have anything. You just came off the side of your hip. It's all good.
I get it.
I had that like saved, bro. It was in the pocket. I had it saved. I was winging it on that. Trust and believe. Trust and believe. it's time for us to get on up out of here. But before we get on up out of here, let me remind you guys how to get in touch with us over here at the Bear and Chicken Podcast. Man, let your voice be heard. Go ahead and hit up that hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. Of course, we will replay them on the show and respond in kind. You can also email us here at feedback@beerandchickenpod.com. That's feedback@beerandchickenpod.com. Go ahead, leave us those emails, and we will read those emails here live on the show and respond to you that way as well. Follow us both on Twitter and Instagram. Well, on Twitter, my name is Mr_Span, and the homeboy Cliff is DJ Neff 2. So go ahead and follow us on these Twitter streets, man. Chop it up with us. Talk shit with us throughout the week. Also, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio. 5-star reviews are the ones that get read here live on the show. If you leave something other than 5 stars, we ain't reading that shit. Use some hating ass shit. If you leave anything less than 5 stars, use a hater. Use a hater. Yeah. With the bombs and shit. But yeah, man, that's what it is. 5-star reviews, man. Actually, we really do appreciate anybody who reviews the show. But we do prefer the 5-star reviews, man. Real talk. And yo, man, for all of your spare report .com needs and your beerandchicken.com needs, go to www.beerandchickenpod.com. You can go there, watch replays of the show, vote in the polls, leave your comments there. You can donate to the show there as often as you like, as much as you like, and of course we appreciate every dime over here at the Spare Report Podcast Network and the Beer and Chicken Podcast in particular. And you can also go to our store from the website too, man. You can go to the store, buy yourself some merch, get your t-shirt, get your coffee mug, get your sports bottle, man, because it's kind of hot outside, man. Cool yourself down, you know. And not only that, like, you could, like, spray water on you and stuff, and then, like, get you, like, you know, your cell phone and, like, having a slow motion and shit. It looked real cool, man. It looked real cool. I did that at work the other day. It was fabulous. Yo, and that's it, man. Also, programming note. This is the last show we doing on fucking Facebook, man. Shout out to all of the Patreon patrons that have contributed to this this effort. We getting the fuck up off of this Facebook shit. We getting the fuck up off of this Be Live shit. We going back to Crowdcast, man. This is the last show you gonna see on these Facebook streets, man. We going back to the real shit. So, yeah, thank you. Thank you to all the Patreon patrons who have contributed to this effort. And for those of you who would like to contribute further, we really would appreciate it if you guys would do that, man. This is an ongoing thing, you know, like website costs go up, broadcasting costs go up. All these things cost money, and we really do appreciate everybody who helps contribute to this effort. Thank you so much for all of you guys who have done that. But we're about to get on up out of here. But, of course, before we do, we got to let the homeboy DJ Neff spin us out on the ones and twos. Do your thing, dog.
Excite, new paint, hook up, big yeah. Y'all know how this shit go, you know.
All eyes on me,
Buffalo G.
Roll up in the club, yeah, right. And shit. All eyes on me. All eyes on me.
You know what?
I bet you got it twisted, you don't know who to trust. So many player-hating niggas trying to sound like us. Say they ready for the funk, but I don't think they know it. Straight to the depths of hell is where them cowards going. Well, all you steal, damn nigga, holler when you see me. And let these devils be soft for the day they finally free me. I got a caravan of niggas every time we ride. Getting motherfuckers up from the past five. Sicker than your average, hop a twist, cabbage off instinct. Niggas don't think shit, stink pink gators. My Detroit players, Tim's for my hooligans in Brooklyn. Dead right, hit the head right, Biggie there, and I. Papa been smooth since days of under rules. Never lose, never choose to. Bruise, cruise, who? Do something to us, talk, go through us. Girls walk to us, wanna do us, screw us, who us? Yeah, Papa and Pump. Close like Starsky and Hutch, stick to clutch. Yeah, I squeeze three at your cherry M3. Bang every MC easily. Recently, niggas frontin' ain't saying nothing, so I just speak my peace. Keep my peace. Cubans with the Jesus peace. With my peace. Packing, asking who want it. They got it, nigga flaunt it. That Brooklyn bullshit, we on it.
Sometimes you really, really, really. pimps in the crib, ma. Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot. When the pigs try to get at you, park it like it's hot. Park it like it's hot. Park it like it's hot.
All right, big dog.
And we out. Peace.